So 18 years ago this summer, my husband and I stepped foot into a Babies R Us for the first time. It was an important rite of passage, this first visit to the baby store, because it was the first time and the only time that we filled out a baby registry. You know, that thing that you fill out, that all expectant parents fill out, that let people know, family and friends, just exactly what those new parents think that baby needs. It was exciting, this inaugural visit to the baby store. As soon-to-be parents, we were so delighted and excited to imagine what life would be like for our daughter. That first time in the store, we just delighted and had this great, great vision each time that we went to see clothes and toys and cribs of what our daughter's life would be like. We patted ourselves on the back when we found this myriad of safety devices, you know, those outlet covers and monitors and gates and all of the other things that are designed to protect this new life from anything that can harm her. And then it came time to pick out the stroller, because of course, newborns need strollers. And that's when everything unraveled in spectacular fashion for us. We couldn't figure out how to open the first stroller. And then the second stroller, when we tried to close it, it pinched us. And then every other stroller had some kind of issue which made them impossible for us to use. Even those really, really simple umbrella strollers, you know, the ones that you like just fling open, we couldn't even figure out how to use that one. I remember clearly saying to my husband, how is it possible that two people with 6 college degrees between us can fail so miserably at this task? And then I looked at Chris and burst into tears, and that's when we knew that we had had enough. It was time to leave. So we fled the store exhausted and defeated, and we wondered, what have we done to ourselves now? So in today's gospel, Jesus offers us another story about the perils of possession. The setup is simple enough. This man interrupts Jesus on a teaching mission and asks Jesus to arbitrate the family estate. Jesus refuses because Jewish law is fairly clear about what to do in these kinds of situations. But Jesus does offer him some pastoral care. Don't worry about the stuff, he tells this brother. Riches in God's realm are not about amassing more and more of the family treasure. In fact, riches in God's realm are about something altogether different. Now, at one level, this is a warning to all of us about all of these unhealthy relationships that form with stuff and with us. It is timeless, this wrestling that human beings have with our treasures. I think that's one reason why this particular gospel lesson continues to speak so poignantly to us, just as it did to people 2,000 years ago. I think that is why throughout the gospels, Jesus counsels and warns us about the dangers that are inherent in more and more wealth. We know those stories. There is that rich young ruler who comes seeking eternal life, and then is incredibly sad to discover that in order to follow Jesus, he must sell everything he has. So he sulks away. And then there is that older brother, the one who becomes increasingly outraged when his younger sibling asks for an advance on the inheritance, blows all of the inheritance, and then comes back seeking forgiveness. And then there are our modern real-life parables. For the last several weeks, I have been fascinated in our neighborhood watching this proliferation of self-storage units. Within 3 miles of my house, there are 7 massive self-storage units that are in business. The newest one will open any day now, and ironically, it is across the street from the only tiny house community in the entire neighborhood. And I think perhaps even more ironically, most of the storage units in this facility are larger than every individual tiny house. And then I would be remiss if I did not mention the news. Then there are the guns. I don't know how many of you saw earlier this week this story that was in the news, but there is now a backpack that is on the market for children that is bullet resistant. I don't know what you think about that, but that really scares me. Somehow our possessions have completely taken hold of us, not the other way around. And in some cases, there is this fatal attraction with our stuff, so much so that there are catastrophic consequences if we don't name those challenges and the dangers with them. I'm glad that Jesus keeps warning us about the inherent dangers in our possessions. We need to hear it. So then we come to this story about the rich fool. He congratulates himself for this bumper crop of stuff. And then he makes at least two mistakes. First, he takes credit for something that is not entirely his to take credit for. This abundant harvest that he has been blessed with is a reflection of God's abundance. It is really a gift of God for the people of God. And I think that's where this rich fool makes his second mistake, because he decides to keep this abundant inheritance, this abundant harvest, all for himself, tucked away in larger and larger storage units. What's more, he uses a single line of scripture from the book of Ecclesiastes to justify this decision. Eat, drink, and be merry. Isn't that the point of life? Well, the teacher of Ecclesiastes looks for some meaning for the toils and troubles of life. This rich fool looks for any justification, even a single line of scripture, to pat himself on the back. And I would argue that that is what vanity is. Now, we are a people of the incarnation. That means that we are formed of the earth by God for the work of God. We are the gifts of God formed as the people of God. And through those same earthly treasures, God meets us and blesses us in the person of Jesus, the gift of God for all people of God. Material goods of this world, they are not inherently bad, not at least if we put things into perspective. Instead, the incarnation affirms the goodness of the created order. It includes all of the treasures of the earth. But sometimes we do get confused. Sometimes our need for stuff outweighs our need for God and for each other. And sometimes our need for stuff masks itself as God, as God's self. We confuse ourselves and think that our stuff is God. And that is when things really start to unravel. That is when we need to step back with each other and really do that deep self-reflective work that says, what really is going on and how do we change it? Later today, a group from across this diocese, 15 teenagers, will join former presiding bishop Catherine Jefford Shorey and Nicole Silvernail from St. Mark's and many, many others on a pilgrimage, a creation care pilgrimage, across the Olympic Peninsula. For the next week, they will spend time learning about orcas in their resident populations and what's going on in Friday Harbor and in the waters of the Salish Sea. They will discover about salmon restoration along the Elwha River, and they will learn about the benefits and the needs of marine sanctuaries along the Pacific coast. But that is not all that they will do. This is a pilgrimage, and pilgrimages are about more than really, really awesome itineraries from place to place. Pilgrimages are spiritual practices, and pilgrimages are designed to really help people slow down enough to hear the questions that are welling up deep within them. They also give people time to reflect on the things that are maybe unraveling within people's lives, and also to wonder about those places where life really is starting to weave together. This week, I invite all of you to pray for those pilgrims. And I also want you to know this, The pilgrims are not the only ones who have work to do. We are all engaged on this pilgrimage with them and in our own ways. We are each called to listen and to reflect on those other ways that our lives are unraveling, and maybe those ways that our lives are starting to weave together. What questions are welling up within you? What is enough? How will you know when you have enough? Who will you ask to be alongside you to then let you know when you have more than enough? And what will you do about that? Stewardship is about how we care for all of these gifts that have been given to us from God. It is also about these moments of conversion, these moments when there is some new insight that we discover that changes our understanding of the world and also how we act in it. That's what this pilgrimage is about. And I think that's also what Jesus is trying to get at in this gospel. Jesus tells the brother that life is about so much more than possessions. And I think what Jesus is saying to him is this: go, be with your family. Do the hard work of relationship building and relationship repair. Stop holding on to the letter of the law. And instead, wonder and discover what the Spirit is all about. And then you will know what your true inheritance is all about. And know one more thing. All that treasure that you amass, it is worthless without one another. You need to be with people in order to enjoy it. When I told my mom about this disaster at Babies R Us, she laughed. And I'm really glad she did. She reminded us about the very, very few things that she and my dad brought home from the hospital along with me. Diapers and a few onesies and a little place to sleep. And then she said, "You have enough. You already know what you need to do. Stop worrying about all the stuff and just love that kid." I've thought about her advice to us over the years. Almost nothing remains now of all of that stuff we accumulated from Babies R Us. And what does remain will fit very comfortably and within a single grocery sack. Every one of those things is a gift from other people. They are treasures that were offered to us in love so that we might turn around and offer love back to others. That, I think, is what it means to be rich toward God. May we all have the courage to offer all that we have and all that we are to God and to one another, just as God is always rich toward us. Amen.